Pop quiz, plant friend. What plant survived the atomic bombing and lived to tell the tale? What flower traps beetles overnight to guarantee pollination? And what common herb might have helped Roman gladiators win their battles? No, I'm not joking you. There are answers to all of these questions, which will be revealed today in part two of my conversation with David Dominy about plants with superpowers. But this time we step outside, literally, and explore the superpowers of outdoor plants that are probably sitting right outside your window and you had no idea how powerful they are. Let's dive in. Welcome to the Growing Joy with Plants podcast, where we not only learn how to care for plants successfully, but how to simply and affordably use our plant babies to cultivate more joy in our lives by doing so. I'm Maria, former plant killer turned happy plant lady, author of Growing Joy, The Plant Lover's Guide to Cultivating Happiness, speaker, podcaster, and most importantly, your new best plant friend. On Growing Joy with Plants, you'll find conversations about houseplant care, gardening tutorials, and wellness through the lens of plants.
Plant care is self-care on Growing Joy.
Hello, plant friends. My name is Maria. I'm here to help you care for plants and grow joy. Boy, oh boy, am I excited for today's episode, part two of our two-part series with David Dominy, all about plants with superpowers. Last month, you probably remember David joined us to talk about houseplants with superpowers. And today, we're talking about outdoor plants that you might find in your garden or in your front or backyard and the crazy things that they can do that you probably do not know about. In this episode, David reveals the crazy abilities of outdoor plants like ginkgo trees that survived Hiroshima, sunflowers that cleanse radiation, and parsley that can act like an energy drink. These conversations with David and his book, Plants with Superpowers, really changed the way that I view plants and how I walk down the street with more reverence, with wider eyes for the plants that I'm looking at. So I hope you love this conversation as much as I do. David, welcome back to part two. I am delighted that I was able to convince you to be a repeat guest for me on the podcast.
Well, thank you very much. And we're talking about outdoor plants on this one too.
Yes, outdoor plants. You know, we had to do the indoor plants first because my OG listeners are my houseplant people. But the beauty of my houseplant people is that they grow up and they buy a house and all of a sudden they need plants for their properties that they own. And so we have a lot of beginner gardeners, some intermediate gardeners. And who doesn't want plants with superpowers on their property, in their gardens? I was so tickled by some of your plant profiles, of your outdoor plants that I feel like I grew up with, you know, on my lawn, on my street, that I didn't know these special effects that they have. Do you have a particular favorite outdoor plant with a superpower?
Well, I suppose for a lot of people, it's identifying what is a superpower with an outside plant, because there are plants that are shapeshifters. In other words, they can change the shape of the leaf depending on what's happening around them. Some flowers can change the color of the flowers. Probably one of the most inspiring is the ability of survival. There is a plant that has survived an atomic bomb.
Tell me more.
And funnily enough, it is a plant that has the ability to stand up to man's pollution of the atmosphere. And it's a plant that is a prototype for trees. 205 million years ago, there was the ginkgos. The ginkgos were a plant that grew right the way across. In fact, you can find fossils of them now from the Jurassic period right the way through to the Mesozoic period as well. The ginkgo biloba is native to China, was a big prototype of our trees that we know today. And you'll recognize the leaf because it's almost got a fishtail leaf, goldfish tail leaf, mm-hmm. As it spans out. And it's been used very much for traditional medicines that help blood circulation. It also works as an antioxidant as well. But they are now being seen because they can tolerate the pollution and are being planted in highly polluted cities all over the world, from China to the UK. They're planting in streets in London. I'm pretty sure that they're doing that in New York and other very condensely populated villages. At one point in Hiroshima, in 1945. There were some ginkgo trees that were in full leaf, planted about a mile away, 1.6 kilometres away from the epicentre of the explosion, the atomic bomb. Terrible circumstances that obviously that was devastating within the area, and stripped the leaves off these trees as well as the devastation to human and animal life, and took them charred back to just a bare trunk. And in a short period of time, compared to everybody else recovering from that, within about a year and a half, signs of life came back to those trees. And it was seen as...
blasted by an atomic bomb.
Yes. And it came back, and it's been seen such as a site of regeneration and hope. That is still seen today, that the tree has a significance of resilience, bounced back and to give some light during a difficult time. What a superpower that is on its own. And we start to think about things that you wouldn't naturally associate with. So take the simple sunflower, for instance. Beautiful sunflowers. You see them in fields that put a smile on your face. Certainly here in Europe, we'll see them across the fields in Provence or in Italy. But that plant has a superpower. That plant can cleanse toxics, radioactivity. It can cleanse metals like zinc, copper, or lead out of the soil, because the sunflower is a hyperaccumulator, which means as it grows, it sucks up all these bad toxins within the soil. And then as it's cropped, it's taken away, and through a process called pyrolysis, it cleanses and separates the metals. So the sunflower is a cleansing plant, and its superpower is to purify. How amazing.
Amazing. You know, in the last episode we did on houseplants, when you were talking about a plant that can tell time, I immediately thought of the sunflower, because you think about, you know, the fields of sunflowers that, you know, at different points of the day, their faces are facing somewhere different. They're like sundials. But it's crazy. Now, do the actual sunflower heads capture and filter? Because I do see people eating the sunflower heads. So is that actually poisonous because there are toxins in there, in the seeds?
Well, I think anything that you grow for consumption, you don't grow toxic or in toxic environments, and you don't spray. So if you've got edible flowers, for instance, I mean, roses are great. You should eat roses. The underestimation is the power. Rose petals are fantastic to eat, very high in vitamin A, B, C, and E. But you wouldn't be spraying those roses if you were eating the flowers, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
But sunflower, the production of food from sunflowers grown in normal soil is huge. The oil that comes from it, of course. I grow sunflowers to feed the birds from. So we grow them, enjoy them in the grow your own area. And then I dry the flowers and I put them out for the birds, who absolutely love them. And then the seed heads that are empty from the birds go in the compost heap, and everything, it just becomes the cycle of regeneration.
Mm-hmm. I mean, so beautiful.
And there's other things like magnolias. Do you grow magnolias in your garden?
I do not, but I absolutely love when I come across a magnolia tree.
See, the thing about magnolias and their superpower, magnolias were on the planet before bees and other flying pollinators. So right. They have evolved to be pollinated by beetles. And they've got a unique thing. The beetle comes in and lands on where the pollen is. And then at night, the cups of the magnolia close, trapping the beetle in. So he walks all around it. He's trying to get out. He's getting more pollen on him. And the next morning it opens and releases them to go out. But they're prehistoric flowers. You know, these have been about, dinosaurs are walking the earth looking at magnolias, yet we are still looking at magnolias today. It's such a privilege to, and that's the reason for writing the book, is that every time you see these plants, you'll have a different feeling and a different connection to them by the personality, individual personalities that they have.
And they're just the most stunning flower. Like when you see a magnolia tree in full bloom, it's breathtaking.
Well, it's gorgeous, isn't it? The other thing about a lot of these ones, you make, lavender is one of the things that is really key. And I take it you've had a lot of interaction with lavender, with its healing processes, have you?
Absolutely. I'm growing it in my garden right now.
Now, the thing is with lavender, we've got these lavender, there's one called the Cotswold Lavender Farm, not far from me, just out in the countryside in England. And they grow the lavender for cropping. And the thing about lavender, it has so many benefits, but there is a lavender that calms and relaxes you. And then there's a lavender that stimulates and motivates you. People all assume that all lavender is the same, and one is for relaxation and one is for this energizing. And Augustifolia varieties have a very high camphor within them, and they work themselves pretty good for relaxation. It's the type of thing that you may have as candles, infused candles and the like, where the intermediate varieties are a stimulant. They're very sharp in fragrance, and that's the type of thing that you would have in bath oils or the likes, or soaps, particularly an invigorating lavender soap will wake you up. And the sharper fragrant ones, these intermediate varieties, are also very high in antibacterial and antifungal as well. So the lavender can invigorate you and calm you, depending on which one you grow.
Yeah, I didn't, until I started growing lavender, I didn't understand how many different varieties there were of it. Because I think when you think lavender, you just think like purple plant, essential oil, you know, like that's, you think it's very simple, but it's actually a very wide variety of species.
It is. One of my favorite things with lavender, I grow. Do you like a gin and tonic?
I love a gin and tonic.
Well, try this. So what I do is get hold of a mug, coffee mug, and go out and pick a coffee mug full of flowers. Just when they're looking at their best and they're purple, put them into the mug. And then get a mug of water. Put the mug of water into the pan, let it come to the boil, then take it off the boil and drop the flowers in and mix it up. So as the water cools from boiling point down, just leave the flowers in, then strain the flowers, put those in the compost heap, and then the sort of like the purpley liquid you've got, I render it down a bit more, add some sugar into it as well, so you make it, and then get hold of your gin glass, single, depending what you want. And then you add in the ice, squeeze of lemon, and the lavender juice that you've effectively got. And the fragrance of the lavender hits you as the glass goes to the mouth. And the beautiful lavender taste, it's something special. It's a summer drink.
Oh my gosh. So my dad does gin and tonic Fridays, and he is obsessed with gin. He has a wide variety, wide collection of gins. I'm going to make him lavender syrup juice, whatever this concoction is, and bring it to him. And we'll do that one Friday. That sounds amazing. And then is the gin and tonic purple because the juice is purple?
Yes. Yes, it's like color purple. You get the fragrance with it as well. So you breathe in as you take the glass. It tastes of summer. You know, that's
my gosh.
You can also get lavender ice cream, lavender chocolate. There's a whole host of things that connect to this flower.
I'm thinking too with the gin and tonic is you could make fancy ice cubes where you could actually take the purple lavender sprigs and freeze them in the ice cubes. And that would look really beautiful too.
That's clever. And you know, when you've got a party and you're drinking prosciutto or champagne in the back garden, and it always warms up too much. And if you put an ice cube in, of course, it dilutes within it. I freeze berries. I freeze things like currants or blueberries or whatever. And I use them as ice cubes because they don't dilute, but they keep it cool. And you've got something nice to taste afterwards. Party drinks. Damn. Grow your own botanic.
Hang out. You and I need to be friends, David. I like the way you live.
That's there. And do you know, it's the smallest things for me is I like growing currants. And at the end of the evening, I'll go and sit in the back garden, no phone, nothing, just some cheese and some crackers, pick the currants fresh. And then you put a bit of cheese in the mouth and as the currant pops, red currants or something like that, you get a combination of the taste. And it's the same with raspberries. You only pull a raspberry off, you get the hole in the middle because a raspberry is a drupelet, means a collection of berries. I put a chocolate drop in the middle of that. And then you get the tang of the fruit. You see, everything you need for happiness is what you can grow in the garden.
And, oh my God!
And that's the thought with the plants for superpowers. There's a little bee orchid that's evolved over time. I love this little story. It's evolved so part of the flower is an exact copy of the bee that it wants to pollinate with it. So the male bee comes along, sees this flower. I've got the pictures in the book. You've got to see it to believe it. It looks like a little bee. He starts to try and mate with the flower. And in case that's not enough, the flowers also evolve to emit a pheromone scent to smell like a female bee. And he's going around these different flowers, thinking he's mating with other bees, but he's not. He's pollinating the plants. How lovely is that?
It's so far beyond genius. It's really mind-blowing. Like, how did that happen? How did this flower know to do that? It's so crazy when you sit and think about it.
So if our plants are out here doing the most, surviving atomic bombs, detoxifying soils, doing all of the amazing things that they do, don't they deserve the best care that we can give them, plant friends? That's why I use Espoma Organic. Whether you're growing sunflowers, whether you're growing food, herbs, lavender, or houseplants, Espoma Organic has a line of organic soils, fertilizers, and plant foods that give your plants everything that they need to thrive without any synthetic chemicals, because your plants deserve the best, and your best is organic. Espoma Organic has been perfecting their blends of soils, composts, plant foods for over 90 years, four generations in the family. And your plants can feel the difference when they are used. I personally love the houseplant liquid fertilizer. All of my houseplants are potted up in their potting soil. All of my outdoor plants are in their potting soil. I use their land and sea compost, their Biotone fertilizer starter plant food, and they have a personalized plant food for whatever you are growing in your garden. But don't just take it from me. Head to Espoma.com to see their wide array of plant products that are good for people, pets, and the planet. And you can find your local garden center that carries Espoma at Espoma.com, or you can click the link in the show notes to go to my curated list of Espoma favorites in my Amazon storefront. Thank you, Espoma. Hot take, plant friends. There is no one right starter plant. There, I said it. And you know what? While I'm at it, there are also no real plant killers in the world. There are just people who have not figured out their right plants for their lifestyle. This is why I created the free Plant Parent Personality Test, because plant friend, I want you to get thriving alongside your houseplants as quickly as possible. So I made this cutie little plant parent personality quiz that's totally free for you on my website to take the guesswork out of building your plant collection effortlessly and joyfully. After speaking to thousands of members in our community, I realized that there are about five key plant parent personalities, each one with their unique set of strengths, weaknesses, and a unique set of plants that thrive under their care. For example, a mindful plant parent, someone who wants to engage with their plants daily, use them in their morning routines. If someone gifted that plant parent a succulent and they watered it every day, that succulent would die immediately. However, that drought-resistant succulent is a perfect match for a low-key plant parent, which is someone who travels, has kids, is busy, doesn't have time to engage with their plants every day. They're looking to engage with their plants more like once a week or once every couple of weeks. In addition, obviously, to understanding your light and basic plant care that we provide on this podcast, Happy Plant Parenthood is all about discovering your personality and then picking the right houseplants to go with it. It's that simple. No more stressing over your collection. So what plant parent personality type are you, plant friend? All you got to do to find out is take my free quiz on my website and let me know. You can access it at growingjoywithmaria.com/personality. After taking the test, you'll get an email with a list of plants, podcast episodes, and planty projects that I think would light you specifically up like a full spectrum grow light. So once again, that's growingjoywithmaria.com/personality for your free plant parent personality test results.
Well, the other thing, just on shape, just for the irony, were you thinking when somebody was designing the planet and its population and its thing, is the shape of the walnut looking like a human brain? You know, when you crack a walnut, you take it out without the nut breaking, you think that looks just like a human brain. Who would have thought the components of the walnut itself contains the ingredients of linoleic acid and polyphenolics, all that work to help the memory and motor function of a human brain, and also oxidative stress and neurogenesis, two things that help with brain health. So this walnut looks like a human brain and enhances
and, it helps,
and
the
helps the human brain. There's some creativity within nature, I think.
Almost, I can't think about it too much because it kind of freaks me out. Like, it's kind of crazy, particularly how the walnut literally, I mean, it looks exactly like the human brain. How did the tree know that? How does the walnut tree know that, David? I don't understand.
I don't know. And then some of the themes of the superpowers make it just simple. They make, like the holly, for instance, common holly, not the cultivated variety.
My favorites.
Is that the holly is naturally smooth. But when its leaves get eaten, either by deers or goats, then they grow back with prickles on to deter the herbivores eating it. So you'd end up with prickly leaves at the bottom, and where it's out of the reach of the animals, they're smooth at the top. It shape shifts its leaf to combat what's wrong. And the other thing I like, there's one cultivar called Ferox where they've interbred it to be more spiky. So it's not just the edges of the leaves that are spiky. It's the surface of the leaves as well. We call it hedgehog holly because it looks like a little hedge. It's the type of thing you plant at the front of the garden where the kids come and sit on your wall and you don't want them to sit them there anymore. You plant this spiky flat, no one comes near. It's a great burglar proof.
You know, it's crazy. This particular chapter on holly in your book, I grew up with holly, hedges of holly, like for 20 years, right? My family home. I never realized the difference. And when I looked at those photos in your book, I was like, oh my gosh, this is so right. And then I started thinking about it and I was like, wait, that is my personality. Like, I am very kind, very trusting, very understanding until I will give people the benefit of the doubt forever until they prove me wrong. And then once they prove me wrong, it's very hard to win my trust back. And I put up a lot of boundaries. And that's the holly. Like, that's the representation of that is, you know, fool me once, shame on me, fool me twice, or whatever it is, you know, but like, okay, I will be smooth until you eat me, and then I will come back and I will be prickly.
That's the game, isn't it? It's all about defense, and you give everybody the opportunity or the benefit of the doubt. And it's not just humans that do that. It's plants as well.
Absolutely.
That's why that in this book, 75 plants, all with unique abilities, that makes a difference. I mean, blueberries, for instance, is a marvelous plant to grow. It has a natural effect to contain a lot of the key ingredients that we need for healthy living. But there's also a part of it that helps regulate the burning and storage of visceral fat. By eating more blueberries, it can aid significant weight loss.
That's crazy. Why is everyone doing Ozempic? They should all just be eating blueberries.
Yes, and it's a giver. You see, it's a giver, the blueberry. You get lovely foliage, beautiful, dainty bell-like flowers. Then you get autumn colour and you get the fruit at the same time.
Mm.
It's always better to be planted in twos and threes so they can cross-pollinate. They've invented a pink blueberry. I'm sure that's a contradiction in terms there. It doesn't take a sharp because obviously the blue in it is one of the key ingredients for its tart flavours. But there are a lot more plants. So when you walk down the street to see different shrubs that may look good, there's colours or whatever. But every plant has a secret, an ability that separates itself from its friends and neighbors.
Mm, I love that. Oh my God, beautiful. Now I have to ask you, I love my herb garden more than anything. When I moved, the first thing I did was set up my herb garden. I don't feel complete without it. And you have two herbs in your book that I thought were very interesting because I think we probably have a lot of herb gardeners here in the beginning gardening. So can you talk about your herbs that you had profiled, the rosemary and the parsley?
Yes, well, rosemary is one of the best herbs to grow, I have to say.
It's the best.
I've got one that I, about 15 years ago, I grew in the house before I lived here, before I moved to this farm. And when I moved, I dug it up because it was so important because I've cropped from that plant for every lamb Sunday dinner I've cooked has had sprigs from that plant since before the kids were born. It means a great, because the flavour's just so, and it's probably one of the easiest plants to propagate. So if people haven't experienced much gardening before, you can either go out and buy a rosemary planted in the garden or just whip a little cutting as you go past one. Always best to ask first and see if it's a neighbour's garden. And if you take something about the size of your finger and just strip off the lower leaves, egg cup with watering, and just stand it in the egg cup with watering, providing that water doesn't dry out, that'll root in a couple of weeks. And then you pot it up and keep watering. So usually better to do the cuttings in soil because the plant sometimes goes from a shock of just having plenty of water in a bowl to being in compost and then trying to find the water within the compost. But it's one of the easiest plants to propagate. And of course, the health that comes with it, it's very good. It's, when you ingest it there, it also helps with the immune system. And it's strongly believed that memory is the enhanced by the engagement of rosemary. In fact, with a lot of wreaths that are given or laid at funerals, the connection of the rosemary within the wreath is to signify remembrance. And it's there, the whole, from each ancient Greek scholars with their garlands right the way through, Romans, everybody seemed to connect rosemary with memory. In fact, being on the doorstep of Shakespeare's home, when Ophelia in Hamlet says, there's rosemary for remembrance, it's been believed rosemary's boosting of the brain's neurotransmitters is one of the key focuses to remembering things.
Okay, I've got a recipe for you now. So I made a rosemary simple syrup a couple of years ago, and I put it in, I mean, I would just put it in my water for just like a little pep in my step. But a rosemary simple syrup with a whiskey or with, I mean, like any alcohol, but a rosemary simple syrup, it's almost savory and sweet. So good. Would recommend.
Very nice.
Next cocktail, well, I'll, you need to try.
I'll have a tug of that. They also say for hair as well, rosemary oil in hair helps to thicken hair and reduce split ends. And some people are even boasting as a connection to stop baldness, but all in one plant. And the thing about it, it's a nice looking plant. The fragrance really unlocks the zest. But when those little early mauve flowers come out and some of the early bees and pollinators visit that plant, it's a good engagement. Other herbs, what other herbs do you fancy?
Oh, I just wanted to ask, and then we can wrap, but I wanted to ask about parsley, because I didn't know any of the facts you talked about parsley in your book. I had never heard of them before.
Well, it's a thing with parsley, because there's a lot of history behind parsley, because it was believed that, the Romans, the gladiators, used parsley, because they believed chewing it before they went into battle, just as they were going up the ramp, did two things. One, it aided them with their agility. And interesting enough, the Romans also believed that it enhanced their cunning as well. But I researched that and could definitely identify there's a strong link between gladiators and also Roman soldiers when they were fighting as well. And the strong belief of the parsley being particularly focused towards strength. But then again, looking at the actual properties, it's better as a mouth assist, because the high chlorophyll within the leaf is very good as an antibacteria and has been used in dentistry to closely associated with teeth in keeping the mouth fresh, keeping the mouth clean, and also reducing oral odours, things like garlic and whatever, by choosing and chewing parsley. It takes odours out of the mouth.
Fascinating. So I guess next time, you know, if I need a little to add a pep in my step, I should go chew on some parsley like the gladiators did. Or if I need to brush my teeth, but I don't have my toothbrush, I can go chew on some parsley.
Now, that second one is certain, but the earlier one, I think we need to put to the test. And I'll give you a good tip on parsley. Two types of parsley. There is the crinkle one, the very dense foliage one.
Right.
And then there is flat leaf.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the flat leaf, without shadow of a doubt, is the better tasting parsley. There's more flavour in flat leaf than there is in the crinkled one. But the crinkled one has a visual enhancement to the dish because it looks a lot better, chops much finer, and engagement. So more flavour, flat leaf, more ornamental effect on the plates or on soups than it's the crinkle.
See, but I'm Italian, so I'm a flat leaf girl.
Are you really? Yeah. So what part of Italy will you originate from?
The northern part, Friuli.
Friuli, up near Milan and Bologna.
Farther east, the northeastern part of the boot, the back. Almost in Slovenia.
Okay, right at the top of, there's beautiful lakes around that part.
Beautiful lakes.
We're traveling.
And good white wine.
Very, very good white wine up there, and red as well. Of course, it's a marvellous country for that. And of course, that's where herbs all. I could have written the whole book on herbs. There's different superpowers for tying. It's really what I wanted to try and do is put a collection of plants, 75 plants. I thought, how easy is it going to be finding 75 plants with superpowers? I had about 170, and then whittle down to choose the strongest one, and all within individuality, because there are some, certainly within herbs, that share a similar benefit. And so I've tried to balance it out, from houseplants to trees to shrubs to ground cover to prehistoric plants, plants that are closely associated with magic, plants that are associated with health, to have this book that's rendered down and every page is a gasp or a wow as we connect with our inner child in discovering something new about this marvelous world.
Yes, there truly is something for everyone. I particularly loved the trees, even though I rent still, so I'm a raised bed gardener, but I loved learning about the trees too.
Hot take, plant friends. There is no one right starter plant. There, I said it. And you know what? While I'm at it, there are also no real plant killers in the world. There are just people who have not figured out their right plants for their lifestyle. This is why I created the free Plant Parent Personality Test. Because, plant friend, I want you to get thriving alongside your houseplants as quickly as possible. So I made this cutie little plant parent personality quiz that's totally free for you on my website to take the guesswork out of building your plant collection effortlessly and joyfully. After speaking to thousands of members in our community, I realized that there are about 5 key plant parent personalities, each one with their unique set of strengths, weaknesses, and a unique set of plants that thrive under their care. For example, a mindful plant parent, someone who wants to engage with their plants daily, use them in their morning routines. If someone gifted that plant parent a succulent and they watered it every day, that succulent would die immediately. However, that drought-resistant succulent is a perfect match for a low-key plant parent, which is someone who travels, has kids, is busy, doesn't have time to engage with their plants every day. They're looking to engage with their plants more like once a week or once every couple of weeks. In addition, obviously, to understanding your light and basic plant care that we provide on this podcast, Happy Plant Parenthood is all about discovering your personality and then picking the right houseplants to go with it. It's that simple. No more stressing over your collection. So what plant parent personality type are you, plant friend? All you got to do to find out is take my free quiz on my website and let me know. You can access it at growingjoywithmaria.com/personality. After taking the test, you'll get an email with a list of plants, podcast episodes, and planty projects that I think would light you specifically up like a full spectrum grow light. So once again, that's growingjoywithmaria.com/personality for your free plant parent personality test results. Hot take, plant friends. There is no one right starter plant. There, I said it. And you know what? While I'm at it, there are also no real plant killers in the world. There are just people who have not figured out their right plants for their lifestyle. This is why I created the free Plant Parent Personality Test. Because, plant friend, I want you to get thriving alongside your houseplants as quickly as possible. So I made this cutie little plant parent personality quiz that's totally free for you on my website to take the guesswork out of building your plant collection effortlessly and joyfully. After speaking to thousands of members in our community, I realized that there are about 5 key plant parent personalities, each one with their unique set of strengths, weaknesses, and a unique set of plants that thrive under their care. For example, a mindful plant parent, someone who wants to engage with their plants daily, use them in their morning routines. If someone gifted that plant parent a succulent and they watered it every day, that succulent would die immediately. However, that drought-resistant succulent is a perfect match for a low-key plant parent, which is someone who travels, has kids, is busy, doesn't have time to engage with their plants every day. They're looking to engage with their plants more like once a week or once every couple of weeks. In addition, obviously, to understanding your light and basic plant care that we provide on this podcast, Happy Plant Parenthood is all about discovering your personality and then picking the right houseplants to go with it. It's that simple. No more stressing over your collection. So what plant parent personality type are you, plant friend? All you got to do to find out is take my free quiz on my website and let me know. You can access it at growingjoywithmaria.com/personality. After taking the test, you'll get an email with a list of plants, podcast episodes, and planty projects that I think would light you specifically up like a full spectrum grow light. So once again, that's growingjoywithmaria.com/personality for your free plant parent personality test results.
There is something for everyone in this book, David. It's so delightful. So if people want to add some superpowers to their garden or in their indoor, where can people find you and where can people find this book?
Well, the book gets released in March, and I think it's the 25th of March. Then, so you can order it from Amazon or your local bookshop. And if you liked gardening advice or see what I'm doing in my garden, you can go to my YouTube channel at David Dominy, where I'm regularly posting fascinating facts on beautiful plants that you can grow inside your home or outside in your garden.
I'm your newest subscriber. I can't wait. I definitely feel like I will be returning to your book over and over again. That's called Plants with Superpowers, and everything is linked in the show notes. Thank you so much for your time for this two-part, you know, series, David. You're the best, and best of luck with everything with the book.
Thank you, Maria.
Thank you so much, David. He is so awesome. We're going to put links to all of his socials and his amazing book. It's a great coffee table book, and it's really fun. There's, I think, over 70 plants in his book. It's so crazy. There's so much to learn. Even in this two-part series, we really skimmed the surface of everything he has to teach us. So I hope this was an awe-inspiring episode, plant friends, because all of the content that I create for you is in service to help you keep growing joy. Plant friend, thank you for tuning in today. It means so much to me that I get to be part of your planty journey. If you like what you heard, make sure you're subscribed to the show so you never miss an episode. We have so many incredible interviews and solo episodes on incredible houseplant and gardening topics that you will not want to miss this year. And while you're over there in the podcast player subscribing, why don't you click over to the review section of Growing Joy with Plants and leave us a review? Reviews are tremendously helpful for the growth of the podcast, so thanks in advance. If you're looking for more opportunities to grow as a plant parent with Growing Joy content, we've got so many options for you. First, I highly recommend you taking the Plant Parent Personality Test. It's free. It's super fun. It takes 3 minutes to complete. At the end of the test, you're going to get your plant parent personality profile and a curated list of plants, projects, and podcast episodes that are right up your alley, tailored just for you and your lifestyle, inspired by your results. The links are in the show notes. If you're looking to uplevel your plant parent game, I have so many free downloads on my website that I think could help you, like the Understanding Natural Light download or 9 different ways to green up your office space. If you'd like to support the show monetarily and help me bring the show to as many people as possible for free, you can head to our Patreon link in the show notes to learn more about our offerings. And finally, I invite you to come hang out with me and continue the planty conversation on social media, on Instagram and TikTok. I'm Growing Joy with Maria. My DMs are always open if you have requests for topics or ideas for the show. Thank you again for listening. It is truly my honor and delight to help you keep blooming and keep growing joy.
Take plant friends, there is no one right starter plant. There, I said it. And you know what? While I'm at it, there are also no real plant killers in the world. There are just people who have not figured out their right plants for their lifestyle. This is why I created the free Plant Parent Personality Test, because plant friend, I want you to get thriving alongside your houseplants as quickly as possible. So I made this cutie little plant parent personality quiz that's totally free for you on my website to take the guesswork out of building your plant collection effortlessly and joyfully. After speaking to thousands of members in our community, I realized that there are about 5 key plant parent personalities, each one with their unique set of strengths, weaknesses, and a unique set of plants that thrive under their care. For example, a mindful plant parent, someone who wants to engage with their plants daily, use them in their morning routines. If someone gifted that plant parent a succulent and they watered it every day, that succulent would die immediately. However, that drought-resistant succulent is a perfect match for a low-key plant parent, which is someone who travels, has kids, is busy, doesn't have time to engage with their plants every day. They're looking to engage with their plants more like once a week or once every couple of weeks. In addition, obviously, to understanding your light and basic plant care that we provide on this podcast, Happy Plant Parenthood is all about discovering your personality and then picking the right houseplants to go with it. It's that simple. No more stressing over your collection. So what plant parent personality type are you, plant friend? All you got to do to find out is take my free quiz on my website and let me know. You can access it at growingjoywithmaria.com/personality. After taking the test, you'll get an email with a list of plants, podcast episodes, and planty projects that I think would light you specifically up like a full spectrum grow light. So once again, that's growingjoywithmaria.com/personality for your free plant parent personality test results.